Brian and Jarrett. Brian and Jarrett.
Welcome everyone to another episode of Brian and Jarrett Talking. I'm Jarrett.
And I'm Brian.
And
we talking.
This is what, episode 12?
It is.
Come a long way.
Mm-hmm.
I should have mentioned last episode, because we're recording two episodes today. My voice isn't the best today, because last night I played a little drinking game called karaoke, and I got in very late.
Yep.
Do you do karaoke?
I have done karaoke.
Mm.
I don't... Like, the last time I did it was probably, like, it was years ago.
But that was, like, pub karaoke, right? Not Asian karaoke, bar karaoke.
Well, I thought you organised one not that long ago.
Yeah, that was, like, 3 years ago.
Yeah. And, to be honest, I kind of prefer the pub version.
Really?
Because, like, sitting around in front of your friends and singing is kind of just weird. Like, there's not just the kind of excitement or the kind of ability to make a pub kind of feel okay. Weird or whatever, you know, like there's that outside element that you're kind of, that makes it interesting. Otherwise, like if I'm just singing, like I could just do that in front of my friends anyway. And it kind of wouldn't be.
Okay. See, cause I really enjoy like going to the karaoke bars.
Mm.
I got a lot of Asian friends. And so every now and then it just happens. I've been like 3 times in the past 3 weeks.
Yeah. Is that a thing for like Asians? Do they just, really enjoy karaoke?
I mean, I went out to dinner like 2 weeks ago with a couple of friends, one white, two Asian, in Strathfield. And we're eating dinner and someone says, let's just go for an hour of karaoke after dinner.
Hmm.
I was like, yeah, why not? And you just do and it's fun. And
yeah.
It is a lot of fun. And
wait, so you do karaoke with like 4 people in the room?
I've done karaoke with just 1 other person.
That is weird.
Well, it was when actually...
weird.
And what... It was when I met... It was the first night I met my friend Adrian. We went out for dinner and we were having dinner. He said, let's just do some karaoke. And I was a bit unsure because sober, just with 1 other person I've just met.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't. It was fine.
Did it just feel like you were singing to each other?
I noticed that I was singing a lot of like love songs, sort of songs, like not love songs, but things like Adam Lambert's "If I Had You" and right. Other, you know, similar songs. But it was fine, and it's just like a really, it's fun.
It's I don't know and what to compare it to, but like it seems like it's a performance thing. It's like
it depends. Like if you're with close enough friends, it's just like letting off steam. Having fun singing trashy songs. And I've got one of my friends, S Dollar. He's a white friend. Mm. And neither of us are that great at singing.
Yeah.
And he said when we're out in Strathfield, he's like, we just need to know our limits. He's like, we need to prepare songs which are mostly talky sort of songs.
Mm.
And we need to know our limits.
Yeah.
And not do the big ballads and whatnot. But I've been out and...
Have you gone with people who can actually sing?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You go out and everyone... Like, you'll sing the trashy song. You'll sing, you know, Vogue or whatever.
Hmm.
Or We Didn't Start the Fire. And everyone's doing, like, a Spice Girls song or a Backstreet Boys song or whatever. And every now and then, the one or two who can actually sing, they get on the mic and they burst out some ballad.
Hmm.
And everyone just stares at them. And then you're like, yeah, you know, round of applause.
Wait, you're not like... Fuck off.
No, it's cool because I'm very impressed by people who can sing.
But that's like, okay, that's like turning up, I don't know, that's like turning up at an amateur like drama production night and busting out like a scene from some dramatic monologue and you're a really good actor.
No, but that's the thing. See, what I've learned as well is for white people, karaoke is just going and singing the trashy songs. But with the Asian people, it goes into as well singing the ballad, singing the love song, singing, you know, the Mandarin songs or the Japanese songs. Mm. It's not just the fun party night out. It is a fun party night out, but it's also the ballads are a part of it.
But
and
is,
the
is
good
it not,
singing is a part of it.
Is it not a situation where you go and do something with like, I don't know, you go out with a group of friends to play a sport and one of the friends is just really good and better than everyone else. You're like,
It's not like we're going out. It's not like Christina Aguilera suggests to her friends, oh, let's go out for karaoke. It's just that someone sings better than everyone else in the group. It's like when you do anything and someone's better at it.
Yeah.
It's just, and they're not showing off, and it's, I enjoy seeing someone who can really sing because I know I can't and I don't have a thing about it.
Yeah.
I don't feel, they're not rubbing it in my face. They're just having a good time the same way I am.
Just going back to you doing karaoke with one other person.
Yeah.
What do you do when they're singing?
You go through the menu and find your song.
So you're not next. Even paying attention to them singing?
Yeah, you are. And I mean, sometimes you sing together. But
that is so weird. I can't get over that. I can't imagine. Like, I found it weird doing it in a room with, say, like 8 people.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Well, yeah. Like, you kind of want to have a big room of people.
You should come out with us sometime when we go, and I think it'll change your mind.
But don't
if you
like,
see the atmosphere?
Don't you want to get like an applause from people who don't know you? Isn't that part of it? If someone's like, oh, that was really just funny, or
no, because you're singing fun songs and you're making jokes and. It's just, no, see, it's not about the applause. It's just about everyone singing, like having a sing. It's like a campfire sing-along.
Yeah, I don't enjoy that either.
Okay.
Maybe it's just me. I'm going to say, hate people singing.
Maybe you just don't like singing. That's fair enough.
Could be.
Yeah. You should come.
I'm going tonight. Yeah. I told you that before.
Yeah. How many people?
I think it's like, it's a small room karaoke. Like, okay. There'll be like 10 people
or
something.
Or white people?
I'm not sure. It's one of our friends' birthdays, so I don't know who else she's invited, but...
Well, it's funny as well, because...
Mostly, I think.
When we were out at Strathfield 2 weeks ago, someone put on Mariah Carey's Hero. Super ballad, super singy song, which I'm not fucking equipped for.
Mm.
But I was singing it anyway, because there was 4 of us. I'm like, well, I better sing it.
Yeah.
And we had trouble with the system, and we needed the woman to come in and fix it. And it gets to this super ballady part of the song. Super, like, whoa, 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 mm. As the woman walks in. And I'm like, fuck it. I'm just going to go for it. It's completely sober.
Yeah.
And I just went for it. And she's looking at me. And I'm like, hey, like, well, I'm the white guy here. Like,
yeah, yeah.
I'm doing my thing.
So is it like, it's just a fun, sober thing to do?
Yeah.
For, like, it's, for, I'm mostly... for, like, is it... I mean, I know they do it in Japan.
Yeah.
But is it, like, all over Asia? Is that, like, a...
I think so, because I don't know any Japanese people. Yet all the Asian people I know love karaoke.
Okay.
So I assume it's a total Asian thing.
All right. Well, I'll report back. I'll let you know how I go.
Yeah. I'd like to hear reports from other people you're with.
Okay.
Because we'd all like to write our own reviews, wouldn't we?
I do plan on getting very drunk.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you get it. The place you're going, they do jugs of mixed drinks.
Yeah.
Which should, I think, are illegal by RSA. You
well,
shouldn't.
Yeah. Like,
I'm not sure how many standard drinks they can give you in a single mixed drink.
But
yeah, fill up on a jug of gin and tonic,
yeah,
a jug of vodka lemonade.
Okay, that's the plan. we started talking about this before the show started, and I said hold on to it because I thought it would be funny to talk about. We were talking about, where did we start the conversation?
Daft Punk.
Talking about Daft Punk.
The new Daft Punk single, what's it called? Up All Night?
Get
Every
Lucky?
Every Night, something like that. Lucky Tonight.
I thought it was just called Get Lucky.
Oh, Get Lucky, that's the one.
Yeah. And talking about how they're performing in Wii War or something like that. And talking about how people were going to be buying tickets to it, and et cetera, et cetera. And Jared mentioned, as a passing comment, that his mum was into scalping.
I don't remember how it started. And this isn't something that happens often. She's done it for, like, 3 concerts. My mum has, on occasion, bought tickets to concerts with plans to sell them later for profit.
Like, as in she's not going at all?
Oh, no, she's not going at all. Oh, actually, no, sorry. With the AC/DC concert, she bought something like 20 tickets to that. Most of them, though, went to family and friends. Like, they bought them and then she sold others. Actually, almost all of them went to family. No, cost price.
Oh, damn.
And I should state, she's not doing it for the money. Like, she doesn't need the money. Like... I think she just enjoys. Yeah, I think she enjoys the thrill of, like, flipping tickets and getting extra money for.
Right.
Because I don't know, but I told her about Lady Gaga when that went on sale.
That You're like, on you sale. Can make a mint.
And I'm like, yeah, I'm like, Mom, I'm like, get on Lady Gaga because you will make bank. Mm-hmm. Little did I realize or anticipate that after the first 2 shows sold
There'd
out.
Be a bunch
Gaga
more.
Put on like 12 more during the week.
Wait, so did like did she was she not able to sell the ticket?
She sold.
She make a loss?
Yeah, she took a loss on Gaga.
Because of you.
Yeah, and the thing is as well, because the concert before was one my brother recommended.
Right.
Bob Dylan or something.
Hmm.
And he's like, fucking do that shit, that's going to sell.
Yeah.
And once again, took a loss. Right. Actually, she hasn't been too successful with her scalping. It's probably why she got out of, the game.
Yeah. Oh, so she's out.
She hasn't done it. I told her about the Daft Punk thing, and Mum's like, yeah, I don't know about that.
That's a risk.
Yeah, because, well, I don't think so. 2,000 tickets at $35 a pop. For Daft, you could at least make $35 profit on that. And remember, it's not about the money, it's about the rush of flipping those tickets.
But how, like, how heavy is the security going to be at the Wee War? What is it? Like
Wee War?
Yeah, but what, like, it's some festival?
It's like the Wee War fair shit. There will probably be, like, a largest pumpkin contest.
Yeah, so just to clarify, if there's anyone out there who doesn't actually know what we're talking about, Daft Punk have recently announced that they're releasing a new album and that it will be launched in Wee War, which is, like, is it New South Wales? Regional, yeah. New South Wales?
It's about 2 hours from Sydney, I think. 2 to 3 hours from Sydney. Oh, is it that close? No, sorry, like, it's got to be longer than that. I thought it was 6 hours or something. It's
near Dubbo or something like that?
Yeah,
or?
But it's a town of about 5,700 people, I think.
Yeah.
And the Daft Punk event is ticketed for 4,000.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, I just imagine...
Oh, so is it... I thought it was a part of, like, some county fair.
Yeah, yeah, it is. This is part of it, but you've got to buy tickets specifically for the Daft Punk thing.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, okay. I thought it was going to be, like, as a part of the fair, so they'd be, like, you know, next to the jam competition and the cheese wheels and all that other shit, there would be like
the bearded lady.
There would be like a massive stage of all Daft Punk.
I thought
they were actually performing at one stage, so that makes sense that they're not.
I think
be
a
there.
Lot of people are assuming they're performing, and just assuming like, well, why wouldn't they be? But no, it's just launching the album, and whether they're performing or not, I don't know.
Yeah,
what I was actually hoping was that there'd be an outcry, because I've seen tickets pop up on eBay for like $250 and whatnot.
So it already has sold out?
Oh, yeah. It sold out in 20 minutes.
Okay.
I was expecting people to be like, oh, you fucking people buying tickets, selling them for profit. How could you? What about the real fans? But then I was like, well, maybe Daft Punk could have booked a bigger venue if more real fans want to go.
Because, yeah, I don't know. I'd be interested to see how it goes, because I can't imagine what the conversation between Wee War Council and Daft Punk's management would have been like.
This could just be a big prank on Wee War Council. Mm. And actually,
do you think it's like two French teenagers who have like pulled this prank?
We could prank a local council with something.
What would you do?
Daft Punk's album launch.
Like, oh, they've had such success for Wee War.
This is a confession. I'm actually behind the Daft Punk Wee War album launch.
We contact, like, I don't know, Orange.
Yeah.
And we're like, we want to do a rival one.
My mum was selling all the tickets, actually.
We're getting cahoots with your mum. We'll make a mint.
Yeah. We can get Vanessa Amorosi booked somewhere. Maybe a Bunnings launch.
Yeah, if she can get out of her shift that night.
Her shift, because she is, as I think we've mentioned before, the deputy night manager, deputy weekend night manager.
I thought she got moved up to the manager.
The manager. Oh, she might be the weekend night manager at Dubbo McDonald's, but
yeah. It's only because the guy who is normally the night manager is on long service leave.
Yeah, well, he got murdered by his crack-addled wife, and now she, Vanessa Amorosi, has taken his job.
Oh, she's moving up in the world. Good for her.
Mm.
You've got some stuff to talk about, Jared. What's happening?
You know that I can sometimes be a bit socially awkward in situations.
Mm.
I've told stories to you before about there was a girl once at Woolies who took a very strong liking to me. She was chatting me up.
When was this? I don't remember this.
This was a few months ago. I call her Woolies girl. I was going through the self-service checkout line, and this girl, about my age, maybe a few years younger, she goes, oh, I like your shirt. I'm like, oh, well, thank you. You know, I got it from Threadless, blah, blah, blah. She goes, cool, cool. Oh, I like your nose piercing. I'm like, oh, yeah, thanks, you know. I got the eyebrow and the tongue as well. She told me about her piercings. That was that. She said, how long did you take to grow your beard? I'm like, a few weeks.
What were you buying? How?
I was with my dad. Dad always has to go to the self-service checkout, no matter how much we've got.
Right.
So she's commenting on everything possible that she can about.
Sorry, you're at the self-service checkout. Yeah. So she's just
and dad's doing
there.
All the scanning. They always have one person there watching the self-service.
Just having a chat.
And she's just talking to me about every possible thing about me. And I'm thinking, like, this girl's chatting me up. I don't know if it's too arrogant to think that because she's commenting on every aspect of how I look. Yeah. But I'm like, this girl's trying to... She's like, oh, so how old are you?
Where do you live?
Yeah, she asked where I live. She asked what I did. And it was pleasant. But then, you know, that was that.
And you're with your dad?
Yeah. And she's chatting me up.
That's a bit weird.
Yeah. He was doing the groceries and I was just standing there.
Right.
Looking awesome, probably. But anyway, and that was that. And we walked away and I'm thinking, no, okay, girl, chat me up. And I thought, okay, next time I go to Woolies, I'm going to wear a shirt with a rainbow on it. Right. Just to kind of give her a hint that maybe I wouldn't be keen if she was keen.
And okay.
The worst part was the next day I went out, I was going to like a bottle shop with my dad. And we had to swing by Woolies on the way home. So I'm like, okay, rainbow shirt, rainbow shirt. And I had to swing in just to buy like a cucumber and a lemon.
Right.
And I got the cucumber and lemon. She's in the self-service checkout again. And it looked a lot like I was just trying to make an excuse to see her. Because, I mean, who buys a cucumber and a lemon?
Yeah.
And this was a Friday night. And she said, oh, hey, how are you? I'm like, good. And she's like, she said something about, like, oh, you're wearing almost the same thing as yesterday. I'm like, oh, yeah, different shirt. And then I made a stupid joke because she said something about, I'm always here. I'm like, oh, fancy seeing you again. She's like, yeah, I'm always here. And I'm like, oh, you mean always in the self-service or you're just literally always at Woolworths? And as I was saying it, I'm like, shut up, you fucking idiot. Like, not only is that...
You are kind of chatting and flirting with
exactly,
her a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm like, shut the fuck up.
You put on a shirt specifically to go see her.
Yep.
I didn't try
and find her. I went through there just because I was going through there. I didn't expect to see her. But I thought if I did, you wore the shirt. Anyway.
I can see how she could misinterpret what you were doing.
But then I hadn't seen her for a few weeks. And every time I...
So she didn't... There was no... Well, you didn't get a vibe that there was any awareness after you wearing a rainbow shirt that she didn't pick up on and...
I don't know. Like, I don't know if I was just giving off... I mean, even if it was someone I was attracted to that was flirting with me, I'd still probably act the same and appear disinterested and not know what to say or do.
Yeah.
But then it was a few weeks past and then I saw her again. Once again, when she's with my dad. When I was with my dad. He's like, oh, I haven't seen you in a while. I'm like, yeah. And then my dad started talking to her because she mentioned something about St. Patrick's Day being on that Sunday.
Yeah.
And she had a name tag and her name was Erin. He's like, oh, Erin, that's an Irish name. And she starts chatting to the girl, oh, how have you been? And it was just really like, oh, no, sorry, just before this, there was a time.
Were you getting any, like, crazy vibes from her?
I started thinking that I was the crazy one because I actually sort of wanted to see her again just to see what would happen.
Because I'm of the opinion that if anyone is that nice to me without knowing me, they're a bit crazy.
There's nothing wrong with good customer service, though. And she was still doing the helping people with bags while chatting to me.
It's like the guy from Target, Michael, the Target guy at Castle Hill, who has to be a serial
killer.
He's
probably dead now.
No, he's not.
Oh.
He's not. He's around. He's got his own Facebook page.
Okay.
And like people update photos and updates that are saying like, oh, I saw Michael, the checkout guy. Should clarify, this is a guy who, for as long as I've been alive, has been the greetings man at Target at Castle Hill, which is a kind of store near where I used to live and where Jared lives. And he's just way too friendly.
Yep.
It's not like he's we're kind of just like, oh, you know, play
this
down a
little.
This
is just an old man. I don't want to talk to him.
Like, I would find ways to try to avoid him walking in and he would catch me and then have a little chat and just be like,
oh, I once went into Target and bought something so I would exit out through the registers so I wouldn't have to deal with him.
Buying a pack of chewing gum or something. So you didn't have to deal with him. But that's the thing.
Because he'd comment. He'd say, oh, you didn't buy anything today, boys.
Yeah.
You're like, no, I didn't.
No, not worth commenting. But like people like him, and I'm not saying that I haven't seen Erin. I don't want to speak.
No, but Willie's got the thing is in between. Sorry, the second time I saw her and the time when I was with my dad and he spoke to her, I was there and she came up and I had my little basket and I was doing my scanning, and she just sort of just took the basket and was very cold to me.
Mm.
And I was kind of like, okay, like...
So this is the time after the St. Patrick's Day one?
Just before the St. Patrick's Day one.
Oh, okay.
The St. Patrick's Day was weeks after that.
Okay.
And she was like, oh, how have you been? And so I don't know where we stand. I don't know where Erin and I are.
Yeah. What shirt were you... Maybe you weren't wearing
it. I've always been wearing threadless shirts every time I've been there since then.
You've been trying to impress her.
Well, I don't know if she likes all threadless shirts. But I did have an incident the other day with a girl... and it actually really made my day, and I kind of got a crush on her. I had to go to the chemist because I've been sick this week.
Yeah.
Had to buy some Nurofen.
Yeah.
And first of all, when you got to go to the chemist to buy Nurofen, you feel like shit, you look like shit, and they give you the third degree because they think you're trying to make meth out of it. So you got to write down your life. I mean, I'm just trying to buy Nurofen. I'm not a criminal.
It's like I went in there recently to buy just day-night cold and flu tablets. Like, yeah. Not even the one that has, like...
The ibuprofen.
Yeah, and it's like just standard... Or
pseudoephedrine, sorry.
Yeah, not pseudo. It was just basic standard day-night. And they walk in and I'm just like, just after day and night tablets. And they're like, oh, okay, you know, what do you need it for?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, I've got a cold. And they're like, what are your symptoms?
Yeah, is it for you? Have you had this before?
I've got symptoms. No, but I was just like, I've got a sore throat. I've got a runny nose. I've got a blocked head. Like, it's a fucking cold. Like, yeah. I know I'm not an idiot. I don't need you. Like, a pharmacist, like, did they want to be doctors? Who wants to be a pharmacist?
I don't know. They...
And I don't mean to offend any pharmacists out there, because it's definitely something that I would definitely not be able to apply myself to become. But, like, I don't know who's trying to be a pharmacist.
I don't know. No, but you say that about librarians. Who wants to be a librarian?
Yeah, but what's librarian the step under?
I don't know.
It's like, it's in the same realm as doctor.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
And they give advice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's like if you're going to be...
A doctor and you become a dentist.
Shout out to our dentist friends who listen to this show. I don't know. I can't compare it. It seems like it's... I don't know who's aspiring to be a pharmacist.
Okay. I've never thought of it before.
And I want to be explained. I'm not rubbishing it.
Yeah.
I just want someone to go like, oh, I went into this because, and then there would be a very good reason, I'm sure.
Mm.
So if there are any pharmacists who listen to this show, please write in and tell us where your life went wrong.
You ask us enough questions when we're just trying to buy some fucking Panadol.
Exactly. How about you answer some?
Why don't you, next time you go to the pharmacy, ask the pharmacist, go, why? Why are you here?
Yeah.
I've actually, speaking of the third degree thing, I tried to buy a syringe from the pharmacy.
For your habit.
No, because I put vodka heroin. Jelly in syringes as a party favour. And I was just trying to buy some samples to see what syringe I wanted. And
you would look... You look like a junkie, right?
It gets much worse.
Okay.
I went up and I'm like, do you sell syringes? She's like, yeah. I'm like, oh, I need a box, you know.
I need
and
a lot of them.
She's like, oh, we only have these ones or these ones. And I'm like, well, what's the tip like? And she goes, oh, it's like this tip. I go, oh, no, that's not the one I'm looking for. I'm using it for vodka jelly. Like, I literally said it that way.
Yeah.
And then I'm just turned and walked. I'm like, okay, sorry, no. And turned and walked away. I'm like, fuck me. I looked so fucking stupid.
So what, you didn't even buy it? You said
I didn't want it. I go, oh, no, that's not the chip I want. I'm using it for vodka jelly.
And she didn't... Oh, they didn't say
it. It was just... Like, clearly this guy was going to use it for heroin.
Yeah. They just not a girl? Sure,
but
sure.
No, when I was at the pharmacy the other day, I got my Nurofen. I went through the third degree process.
Mm.
And went to the register to pay, and I knew it was about $15 for the Nurofen. And I get there, and this girl, she's like, oh, you know, that's $6.55. And she starts ringing it up. She goes, oh, I'm sorry, that's $16.55. I do that sometimes. Oh, a bit of an airhead. I'm like, oh, that's cool. And that sort of brightened my day. And she made herself look stupid.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, it wasn't me. Do you want me to put that in the bag for you? Yeah, sure. Grab the bag. As I turn to walk away, I just drop the bag. And she sees it, and she turns to me, and she's like, now you're doing it. And I pick up the bag, and I say, you know I need medication.
Yeah.
And I walk away, and I'm like, you fucking idiot. Like, what does that even mean?
you know I need it.
And then, but the worst thing is...
What were you buying again?
Nurofen. And I had the flu. I felt like shit. But the thing is, as I was walking away, I thought, I want to see her again. What can I concoct a reason to go to the chemist, to go to the pharmacy?
Right.
And I thought, there's not a lot of things that you can reasonably buy from a pharmacy. You can buy Band-Aids.
Mm.
Like, you don't want to buy condoms.
It's pretty hard to try and pick someone up at a pharmacy because you're always going there for, like, ailments.
Yeah.
It's like,
and they know what's wrong with you.
Yeah. Like, what's a cool thing to buy at...
Large condoms.
That's the Frank from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia's approach.
Oh, really?
His approach to, yeah, like... And actually, it is a girl from the pharmacist.
There you go.
His approach was to, yeah, just buy... ultra large condoms. So she'll be really impressed.
That's twice now in a row.
But then even then, penises. If you're like, if you buy the big pack of condoms, you look like, you know, you get around a lot.
True.
Like, I don't think the pharmacist is going to be like, oh, he's just buying them for me. Like for when we finally hook up, he's like,
that's the thing as well. You wouldn't want to try picking someone up while buying condoms off them. Because it's like saying, I need condoms because I'm planning on having sex and I'm trying to go out with you.
Yeah, what are you doing later?
Yeah. That's probably the last condom thing. Box at them. Or depending on what the caliber of her morality and whatnot is, maybe that will work. If she's a slut, go for it.
Speaking of like just weird interactions with people and saying really awkward shit.
Mm.
I remember once I was talking to a guy at a clothes store or something and I can't remember... Oh, I think I remember what it was about. But anyway, it finished with, like, me kind of just wanting to end the conversation and go away. And as I left, I think I said the words to him. This was, like, a Wednesday afternoon. And as I was leaving, walked out the store. He's like, all right, have a good day, mate. And I was like, yeah, have a good weekend. And then immediately just went, like, what the fuck? Where did that come from?
Was it approaching the weekend?
It was middle of the week.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think I just turned and just, like, kind of... held my hands up and looked at him and just went like, I don't know where that came from.
Well, I had an experience. I was coming back from the city one night. It was about 10:30. And I had my dad pick me up from the train station.
Mm.
And what's happened occasionally is we come back from the train station and I've wanted to grab some dinner from McDonald's or Hungry Jack's on the way. And we were driving home and Dad just said, he's like, do you want anything from Hungry Jack's? Because I'm going to get a coffee. I said, no. So we went Hungry Jack's, got a coffee. I got a cheeseburger anyway. And Dad says, one cheeseburger and one black coffee. And the kid at the window says, that coffee will keep you up tonight, won't it? And Dad just said, he's like, no, I'm working. I need to stay up. And he wasn't working and didn't need to stay up. And he can sleep with coffee.
He's
and
like, this kid's got my number.
Yeah. And then Dad turns to me and I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And I told my brother about it the next day. And he said, I think I know that kid. He said, I turned up there after work the other day and he comes to the window and he goes, oh, you look like you've had a rough day. And Andrew said, yeah, I've been working all day.
Yeah.
The guy goes, you need to go home and have a sleep.
Wow.
And he said, yeah, I want to have dinner first. I'm like, this fucking nosy little bastard.
Yeah.
Because there's a fine line between showing you care and good customer service and just butting your nose in other people's business.
Maybe he's just like, he hates his job and he's like, fuck, I want to get a reaction out of someone.
Maybe. He could be having as big a laugh as everyone else is.
He's a Hungry Jack's troll.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, go get a double cheeseburger. You don't need all those calories, mate.
I hate when people say to you like, oh, you look like shit.
Yeah.
And, like, I get the point, I know
when I look like shit.
I know. I get the point that they're doing. Like, they're kind of like, I don't know, having a comment. It's a conversation starter of, like, what did you get up to last night or whatever. You're like, that's not a nice thing to say. It's like walking up to someone and going, like...
Hey, fatty.
Yeah, exactly.
What did you eat for breakfast?
Yeah, you've been eating a lot of fucking food, you fat shit. Like, you look like shit.
I don't know that I've ever been told I look like shit. I've been told, like, you look like you've had a rough night, but that's always in the context of me having just stumbled out of bed and clearly looking like I've had a rough night.
Yeah.
Last week, Sunday, I woke up with the flu.
Mm.
I felt like I'd been thrown down a flight of stairs. Yeah. I had some family over. I stumbled into a room, had a couple of Panadol in my hand. So I walk into this room, take my Panadol, water. I'm like, ugh. My uncle's like, whoa, well, hello.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, no, no. I haven't been out. I just woke up with the flu.
Yeah.
And there's no natural way to segue to this, but I did just read a quote. We spoke about how we want more reviews on iTunes, good or bad, and we've had some awesome bad ones by people in person. And I don't know if this is something that we can even discuss, but it just has... I can't pass it by.
Yeah.
I love how matter-of-fact Elton John is when talking about people, especially Madonna, because he hates Madonna.
Why? When did that start?
I don't know. I think I remember it starting. There was some award ceremony where Madonna was either nominated or got an award for best live act.
Yeah.
And he said something like, Madonna for best live act. What a fucking joke. Anyone, if you charge £180 for a ticket and lip sync, you should be shot. Right. Something along those lines.
So he wasn't like provoked. Like Madonna didn't do anything to him. He was just like pissed off.
Something's probably happened privately or she said something or something like that.
Yeah.
But he fucking hates it. And I just love how matter of fact he is.
Yeah.
Like how he's been with Lily Allen and whatnot.
Yeah.
But I read this quote about Elton John said of Madonna and her recent tour. I don't know if it's something to discuss, but he said, she's such a nightmare. Her career is over. Her tour has been a disaster. And it couldn't have happened to a bigger cunt.
was this published?
In an interview.
Wow.
That came up in an interview. And I'm like, you have to give him so much respect for... I mean, he's in a place, and so is she, I guess, where nothing they say is really going to topple them. They're always going to have their bit.
Yeah, exactly. I guess, he's just, I don't know, maybe it just keeps him in the paper or something.
Yeah, because I don't think he does put much music out.
Nah, I mean, he doesn't need to. He just tours off the back of his catalogue or whatever. But yeah, I guess it is nice to hear like someone just slagging off another person, another celebrity.
Especially when there's someone like Madonna who is a giant bitch.
Yeah.
And who is one of those people who I believe would feel that they were beyond criticism.
Yeah, probably.
Like, if someone has a negative review of our podcast, we laughed about it when we heard at the party last weekend. Mm. Someone referred to us as two retards. Not that only referred to us, but told their boyfriend, stop listening to those two retards.
Yeah.
I wish she'd written it on iTunes.
It would be very fun. I wouldn't mind a good negative review, as long as it's not from Elton John.
No, I welcome it. I'll
can you imagine that if we just cop the an abusive review from like a big celebrity?
If it was Elton John, if Elton John said that we should stop this podcast, I'd take a serious look at it. I'd re-listen to every episode and go, Elton John's probably right. Or Tom Hanks, him as well. I'd give the respect. Morgan Freeman, also. Mm. If any of those three had some harsh words for us, I'd take a long look in the mirror.
Is Madonna still... She does music, right?
Yeah, she had an album out, like, last year.
Yeah. Is anyone liking it?
Nah, not really. She's come and tried to do this dancey stuff. And this is what, actually, Elton John said in the interview as well. Because Madonna always just chases the trends.
Yeah.
But she's doing it in a time of, you know, Lady Gaga, LMFAO, and all the other people who are topping the charts.
Yeah.
And she's not going to be able to compete. Because her music only gets recognition because she's Madonna, not because it's any good.
But like, if Madonna was if she released Vogue now, no one would care.
Exactly, and that's the thing. Like, she needs to just release. I don't know.
Well, you got credit to like for still trying to do it, even though she's not doing it well.
Yeah, but she's not trying to do it because
LMFAO are doing it well.
You know, there's an Aussie version of LMFAO. There's like an Aussie group. I saw their video and it's like every LMFAO video squished into one.
What are they called?
Either they're called or the song's called Bombs Away. But they're Triple J Unearthed people. What? Yeah.
Actually, this sounds vaguely familiar.
It's a fun song, but...
what do you mean? I can't imagine...
You would fucking hate it.
I can't imagine Triple J Unearthed playing that kind of stuff. Well, though, right?
I read about their artist profile on Triple J Unearthed, and they were talking them up massively. They're like the hardest working performers in Australian music and whatnot.
What the fuck?
They were going wild over those guys. I'm just going to look their name up, actually.
Yeah.
Just so I can give them a proper plug.
That Bombs Away is a familiar term. Maybe we can open the open the episode or close the episode with it or something this week so other people can understand what we're talking about.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Hold on. Party Bass. Either they're called Party Bass or the song's called Party Bass or they're called Bombs Away or the song's called Bombs Away. But I think, yeah. The artist is called Bombs Away and their song is called Party Bass. I just read.
Who is the...
Putting up the dollars.
Who's successful in Australian music nowadays? Who's the poster child?
I don't know.
Gautier.
Gautier, right? Yeah, but even then, that's one song, really.
Yeah.
He doesn't tour, does he?
Yeah, he tours.
Yeah.
I guess, he's kind of, in a way that, he kind of hasn't embraced the popular attention he's getting. Yeah. He's not kind of like a personality.
I think Australian music is becoming what the reality shows produce.
Yeah.
And the thing is as well, I noticed the girl who won X Factor, not X Factor, sorry, The Voice last year, she was actually quite already an accomplished musician. Samantha Jade, I think her name is. She had written songs for people. She'd already had albums out and whatnot. And it made me realise that things have changed from the Australian Idol days. When Australian Idol would be just a bunch of nobodies and someone gets big.
Yeah.
And X Factor is similar to that, I think. But The Voice, it's kind of like a legitimate career move.
Yeah. Well, for musicians. There was a performer on there who's done work with people I work for, won't name them. And she's done singing and voices and stuff like that. And she made it through the next round.
Well, I'm actually going to X Factor tapings by the time this airs. It will be last Sunday, tomorrow morning. I've got to because I've got a friend who's made it through to the audition, the live audition.
So were they on? Did you see them on TV? Or
they will be on. This is going to be the on TV audition, the judges' auditions.
But they made it through the blind auditions. He's already done
the producers' audition because with these shows, you audition for producers and they weed you out, interview you. He's been through that whole process,
and so he hasn't been on air yet.
No. He's going to be one of these people who comes out on stage.
And they've got their backs turned. To him.
No, the X Factor, not The Voice.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. They're all the same, Jared. It's all bullshit.
Well, they'll be facing. And he's done, a bit in... He's won awards and whatnot around, within Australia and stuff.
Mm.
But it's just going to be interesting. I'm friends and family tickets.
Cool.
So I may be one of the people either backstage.
Can you check something for me?
Yep.
I've got a theory that... I don't know. I've watched I have watched The X Factor, and it is them who do it.
Yeah.
There's ads where, and they play them because the Channel 7 promos the shit out of them. It's Channel 7, right?
Mm.
Promos the shit out of it, and as well as just on the TV, I am so dead certain that they're playing fake applause.
You know
throughout
what?
The whole song, the performance.
I've been to a taping of Australia's Got Talent. A few years ago where I saw actually Justice Crew audition and when I saw them audition, I tweeted Justice Crew are going to win and they did, just saying. They had us record a few applause shots.
That's okay.
Of the crowd standing up and cheering and whatnot.
That's okay. That's normal. We've done that in productions I've worked on.
Yeah.
Oh, well. But I'm talking about if you listen to it when it airs... There is non-stop applause throughout the entire performance. People are going ape shit. So, people are, yelling and cheering and going crazy for it.
I'll take note.
Because it was, whatever it was, there was all these ads last year where they were trying to, say how there's going to be, the Australian One Direction.
Yeah.
And, on all the promos, they were just showing, I don't know.
Yeah.
Dickheads.
I actually lost a date because of them.
What do you mean?
I was supposed to go on a date with someone.
And they went to a One Direction show?
No, it wasn't One Direction. It was the fucking dickheads. The X Factor of One Direction.
What do you mean? Did they actually do something?
They did a show at fucking Westfield, Sydney.
Yeah.
And this guy, he was like, oh, yeah, sorry, I can't come and see you. I've got to go see these guys.
You remember a couple of weeks ago when you told me if you were dating someone who used the term LOL, LOL? Yeah. I would have, if you didn't know that this guy was going to see these dickheads perform at Westfield and I knew about it, that would be a moment where I'd say, Get Out.
That was when it happened. It wasn't because of like, oh, you went to see these guys. It was just that that was when the House of Cards fell.
Yeah, it wasn't that that you were getting stood up. It was is that you were just going to that show. Like, if you didn't have a date planned, would that be would that have been enough?
No, no, it wouldn't have been a thing, because I understand, like, if you're going to date a gay guy, they're probably going to be interested in some shitty pop music.
Fair enough, fair enough. Okay, so we were talking about parents before, your parents, your mum scalping tickets and various other things. I'm trying to find a very vague seg to get to this section.
Mm. Take your time.
Did your parents ever, like, tell you stuff when you were young to, like, kind of get you in line or, like, kind of just manipulate you a little bit, as parents naturally do, to get their kids to behave? But, it, like, when you reflect upon it, it was actually kind of messed up?
The only thing I can think of is, you know how ice cream trucks go around playing music? Mm. My oldest brother, Aaron, he was always told that that was the music truck. So he'd never know there was ice cream involved.
So he's like, what's that?
Yeah, that's the music truck. But I don't think... Yeah.
Is it like, it just goes around playing music?
Yeah, yeah. That's awesome. I mean, what does a child go, of course that's the music truck.
So like when he was out playing with his mates, and they're like, oh, the ice cream man's coming.
When he was very little, I mean, you know.
Right.
Not when he was, you know, like 12.
Was it to stop him wanting the ice cream?
Yeah, it's because they didn't want to deal with going to the ice cream truck every time I went by. Because if a kid knows there's ice cream truck on demand...
The ice cream truck man must have been the bane of parents' existence.
Yeah.
They'd just be like... Because there's no warning. And this is back... we had one that just rang a fucking bell. Like, it didn't even play the music. It was just ding, 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 ding coming down the street. So there's no way you could not hear it if you were inside. Imagine if you're a parent and you just got, like, your kid calmed down, they're watching TV, and there's this fucking guy with a bunch of unhealthy shit that you don't want your kids eating, yep, but you know they want, comes tearing down the street, well, ringing a big bell. You'd be like, fuck off.
There was once when I was, I would have been 8, and the ice cream truck came down our street, which was very rare because it was a quiet street.
Hmm.
And me and, like, my brothers and two of the neighbour kids, we all got ice creams. And there must have been something dodgy about his cones, because I think my cone broke and the ice cream fell, and he gave me a second one. And then my brothers did, and it fell, and he gave him a second one. But then one of the neighbour's girls broke, and he just must have went, fuck it, and he just drove off.
He's like, I'm not giving 3 out for free.
Yeah, and she was little as well. She would have been like 4.
What a prick.
Yeah.
Do they exist anymore?
Ice cream truck. I've heard ice cream trucks.
Really?
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't know, maybe kids are playing less outside now. They've got video games.
Yeah.
Maybe. But anyway,
parents are just buying more fucking ice cream and shit themselves.
My dad used to do some weird shit.
Okay. Do you want to stop recording before we go on?
No, my dad used to... He'd create these, like, boogeymen.
Okay.
These various boogeymen for, like, different aspects of, like, of our lives. And, like, if we didn't have a bath, there was a guy called Barry the Bath Man who would come after us.
Barry is such, like, a harmless name as well.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, it just used to scare the shit out of us, and we'd get out of the bath. Like, I don't know.
So what? So you have to have a bath, or Barry the Bath Man would come and get you?
Yeah, would come and get
and
you.
And bathe you?
I don't know what the implication was. I don't know, kill us or something. Either way, I didn't want to find out.
Yeah.
There was Vince the Veggie Man, if you didn't eat your veggies.
Oh, your dad's awesome.
And, like... Upon reflection, it's a pretty fucking scary thing to, like...
They eat veggies or some man is going to come and get you.
Yeah. And the other thing was, and this was more my brother and sister, I think I was a little bit too young for this, but whenever, like, they were misbehaving, my dad had this, like, had this thing where he would tell them that he had another family that he would go visit. And, like, he'd go spend time with the other family if Michael and Claire were misbehaving. And me, like...
Touché.
Like, and to the point, he was so committed to this, where he would leave, hop in the car, and do laps of the street to prove a point. And, like, he'd get... Like, they had names, the other family members.
And backstories.
And, like, I can't remember the name.
Jesus.
I have to ask my brother and sister, but, like, his other wife had like a name.
Did he use that on your mum as well? He's like, if you don't make spaghetti for dinner, I'll go to
Sharon.
I'll go to Sharon's house.
Sharon makes great bolognese.
Have you considered the possibility that he did actually have a second family?
Yeah.
And then once he got rid of them, he told you it was all a joke.
Yeah. Well, this was his way of just legitimately seeing the other family. Yeah. It's like, you know, reverse psychology. If I tell them I'm going to...
So he'd say, like, you'd better behave or I'm going to go in there and hang out with other kids.
I think so. He'd just be like,
oh, my... talking to children.
It was just like, my other kids behave. Oh, so, like, I'm going to go spend time with them.
Jesus.
And I think, like, my mom has since told us where she would, like, she'd be, like, rolling her eyes and shit when he'd be doing this. And, like, when he'd go hop in the car, she'd be like, fuck's sake, Phil. Like...
Oh, that's... I mean, you've got to have a sense of humour. Like, if you've got, like, misbehaving little shit kids,
yeah,
you got to entertain yourself.
I just love the commitment to it.
Yeah. And it would be good if, coming up to his birthday, it's like, well, my other family sent me a birthday present. It's a new DVD player.
Yeah. I'll have to check with... Because this is something that I don't really remember, but it was a story all through growing up. I think I was too young to actually experience it. But I'll have to find out the names of the family and some of the weird
and
shit that he pulled.
As much detail as he committed, like, as much detail as he gave it. Yeah. And I wonder if Barry the Bathman went to the other family too.
Yeah. I wonder if...
Barry the Bathman was, like, the other... He was, like, the uncle of the other family. And Vince the Veggie Man was the brother, the zany neighbour.
I imagine they would just... They're like the Candy Man.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want the Bathman to come.
Yeah.
I'm surprised my dad didn't dress up as Barry the Bathman and give us a bath and, like... I want to know what Vince the Veggie Man did if he shoved it down our mouths. Like, fucking... traumatic child experience.
Jesus. Yeah, well, the music trucks not sound like such a bad idea after all. I imagine if your dad had young children these days, he would probably have an actual music truck. Or he'd just drive around. Yeah, he'd drive around playing music. Just a music truck, kids.
Dad's retired now. He could commit so much time to these elaborate ruses. Oh, he totally would. He
could just become Barry the Bathman. Yeah. And then, like, $15 a pop, he comes to your house and scares your kids.
Well, my nephew, he's...
He's going to learn about Barry the Bathman.
Yeah, he's turning 3 in a few months, so I think he's almost at the age where...
Barry the Bathman comes knocking.
Or Phil goes and sees his other grandson that he likes.
Yeah. My other 3-year-old doesn't cry so much.
Yeah. And on that note, I think we'll wrap it up for this week.
Yeah.
Again, you can always find us on Facebook, on iTunes. You can stream us, do whatever you want.
Yeah. Actually, you better find us on iTunes or Peter the Podcaster will come and get you.
Yeah. Ian the iTunes man. But thanks again for listening. I'm Brian.
I'm Jared.
See ya.
Brian and Jared. Brian and Jared.